Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
On the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a Panther for Peace in a star-filled sky where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Dad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Mike Manning, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I am doing excellent, and I am drinking a black cherry vodka soda. It is the last of my 12-pack.
Ooh, well, when did you start that 12-pack? Like
today.
45 minutes ago? Or
It hasn't been that bad a day.
Okay, just making sure. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking there, my friend?
I am doing okay. I'm drinking some great King Street Scotch by Compass Box, and it is delicious. How are you doing, Tommy? What are you drinking?
I am doing terrific. I am drinking Mose Eisley Scotch. It's not actually called Mose Eisley Scotch, but the spelling is close enough that I thought it was when I bought it. So now I want to believe it's Mose Eisley Scotch. It's actually Mose Islay, which is an island in Ireland that produces a scotch that I usually don't like because it's a lowland, and that lowland stuff is usually a little salty for me. But this one's actually terrific. So, Mose Isley, but I'm going to keep on saying thinking it's Mose Isley, because that's cool to me. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I'm about to crack open the latest Imperial IPA from Treehouse called Jingle Juice.
Jingle Juice. What's the tagline?
It's an Imperial IPA, Centennial, Simcoe, and Citra hops made with simple syrup and a little bit of Douglas fir.
Mm. I like a little simple syrup in almost anything.
Whopping 7.9% Imperial. So we'll crack that open in a bit.
With the simple syrup in there, what does it crank the carbs up to?
I don't look at the carb counts on these. Cause,
as a diabetic, maybe you should.
Hey, you know, I skipped a meal today. I'm okay.
Is this why our Joe the Barbarian podcast came out so crappy? Because you just didn't want to hear it. Stacy, how you doing? What are you drinking? I'm guessing. Now, I know for our fans out there who don't know, Stacy's just getting over a bout with COVID. She had the plague. She took the bullet for us. I'm hoping you're drinking water out of a Frankenstein head, but I'm not sure. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking water, but I switched it up.
Oh, no.
It's in an Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
Not only yeah. Empire Strikes Back, but
yeah.
Lando and Leia.
I would have also accepted Colt 45 in that glass, my friend.
I would also accept Colt 45 in that glass, but I don't have any, so just water.
Well, you need a couple bucks? I'll send you a couple bucks. What's your OnlyFans page?
I don't have
one. You really should. I'm working on mine as we speak. It's going to be glorious.
Yeah, it can just be toy videos. Like, don't get me wrong. Like,
that's true. It could be.
There are people out there who will pay for anything.
Damn right they will. Even for the shittiest name in all of comic book history. Speaking of which, today we're talking about Battlestar. And Battlestar is not even the worst comic book name this poor guy had. Mike, you want to give us a little background story on our good friend Battlestar?
All right, I'll take a crack at it, even though I was much faster on the nose than Stacy and Josh. But Battlestar, first appearing in Captain America number 323 in November of 1986, created by Mark Grunwald and Paul Neary. His real name is Lamar Hoskins. He was a member of the Bold Urban Commandos, the Buckies.
Bold, the Buckies. There were two white guys and a black guy.
Yeah, we'll get more into the Buckies in a bit. He's also been part of Silver Sables Wild Pack, and was the partner for the U.S. agent. His powers consist of, well, it basically is just like Steve Rogers. He got the super soldier formula, except from a different person, from a cohort of the power broker. And he has a shield, much like the original Captain America shield. It's shaped in, I don't know, what would you guys call that shape?
Teardrop.
Thank you, LT. Teardrop shape, except it is made of adamantium, like Captain America's round shield is.
Vibranium, you mean?
What?
Well, Captain America's
shield is a
hybrid.
Of
all right. So
hybrid. Adamantium.
It's an alloy.
Adamantium
and vibranium alloy.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Lamar.
Yeah.
Lamar was born in Chicago, Illinois. He was army buddies with one John Walker, who would later come to be the Captain America after Steve Rogers gives up the title. And as part of it, the corporate sponsorship, I guess you would call it, they create the Buc-ee's, the Bold Urban Commandos, and he is one of the three pretty much originally nameless guys, just like, hey, these are the pips to to the new Captain America. He then later became the quote-unquote partner or sidekick, depending on how you're looking at it, of Super Patriot. And that's when Dwayne McDuffie, the comic book artist and writer, who also is known for writing the Justice League and finally printing the Brown Bomber into comic books, contacted the writer of Captain America and was like, hey, man, just so you know, Buck was a term they used to refer to the slaves. It's not good. You can't call your dude Buc-ee.
It's derogatory. Now,
which is better than N-word, which was originally the first iteration I think they planned.
I'm just glad it was Bold Urban Commandos and not Boy Urban Commandos. Because it honestly could have gone that way because they were using,
the Boy Commandos, yeah.
Yeah, we do have the Boy Commandos. So it could have been the Boy Urban Commandos or Buc-ee's, and that would have been real bad. I'm glad that someone pointed it out. I would also like to point out that I didn't know Buc-ee was an offensive term until I was in the military because Buck was something you called a Buck Sergeant. Hey, Buc-ee, Buck. And it didn't matter until it mattered one time when I called the wrong guy, Buc-ee. And he's like, what? Like, Buck Sergeant. He's like, oh, you idiot, come here. And he explained to me in shouts and spit why I never get to use that again. I remember the very day I learned that one.
I never had a cute nickname for any of my sergeants except for Top.
Oh, Top. Everyone called Top. I mean, Top was Top. But there was like, I remember somebody else calling him Buck Sergeant. And it was a Buck Sergeant. And I was like, all right, I guess he's Buck. Hey, Buck. Nope.
Dear listeners who weren't in the military, there's no bottom sergeant, just in case you're wondering.
And there's no Buck Sergeant either. It's just Sergeant. That's the rank.
It's just Sergeant.
You don't need to have a special mockier for that rank.
Right. Well, just Three Stripes was called a Buck Sergeant for a while. I mean, it was called a Buck Sergeant.
Yes, during World War II.
Yeah, so that was a carryover, and it shouldn't have. But so go on. I didn't know he was part of Silver Sables, the Wild Crew. I did that. That's one that I missed.
Yes. So after McDuffie comes in and explains, hey, you got to rework this character and make him not as racist. They create.
It's funny coming from the guy that brought the Brown Bomber back.
Yeah, they create Battlestar. It took them about an hour to come up with a name for the guy. They designed the new suit. They make him, instead of the sidekick, they make him the partner of Super Soldier. and he helps defeat Flag Smasher. Later on, he goes on to team up with some other heroes. He's kind of a mercenary superhero, right? That's how he ends up being part of the Wild Pack. And then later goes on to be part of Armor, which I believe is... Armor is more secret than Sword and Shield. And that is defending the Marvel Universe against incursions from parallel universes. And he, for a very small time, was a member of the Unlimited Class Wrestling Federation, so he could have a match against one of Tom's favorite characters, D-Man.
Oh, D-Man. You daredevil knockoff.
Lamar actually had been an aspiring professional wrestler, but his career was ended by D-Man. And he was originally going to go into the UF or UCWF in order to get revenge. But like many things, the guy in charge of the charity was a scammer and the promoter ran away with the money. So they teamed up and beat up the guy.
Paul Heyman was in charge of the UCWF?
Apparently.
Paul Heyman murdered more grandparents than any professional wrestling promoter ever. Whenever wrestlers had to travel anywhere, Paul Heyman would buy the tickets under and claim that the wrestler was flying to a funeral so he could get them half price. He killed everybody's parents and grandparents. Paul Heyman stories.
And welcome back to the Paul Heyman podcast.
Yeah.
LT, I know you want to talk about Armor.
So, I mean, in terms of Battlestar, Battlestar being part of Armor played pretty heavily in the Marvel Zombies Squadron Supreme storyline, because he was defending a base where the Squadron Supreme were being held, and they became zombies. And he lasted most of that story arc, surprisingly.
For a couple of reasons.
And, yeah, and that's kind of where I mostly know Battlestar from. Other than that, I thought he was just mostly bit character. And then I read some Captain America books for this comic and read the first appearance of him where he was a Bucky fighting Super Patriot. And was just like, yeah, Bucky, Battlestar is really in it just for the money. And then read some of the later Captain Americas that he was in, 378, 379-ish. And it was weird because he was in these stories for like one or two pages, and the stories had literally nothing to do with the Captain America storyline that was going on. So it's kind of bizarre, kind of weird, kind of strange, and it was the 80s in a nutshell.
It was the 80s. We did a lot of weird stuff.
It was the 80s. It was like, yeah, let's just throw in some extra characters to try to get more book sales, even if it feels like you could throw a Hostess fruit pie at the bottom of this page, because that's exactly how much sense it makes to put this two pages in. Because it has nothing to do with the story arc that you're trying to sell.
So I don't want to brag, but after Strange Tales ended and Iron Man and Captain America got their own series, they both started at issue 100. I own all of that first volume of Captain America. And those are such shitty stories for the most part. It is just drag after drag. It is painful to read that stuff. And it got even worse when Johnny Walker, this becomes the fucking Captain America. And the stuff with Battlestar and the Buckies is just horrible shit on another level compared to all the horrible shit that Captain America had before then. I'm not a fan I'm not a fan, I gotta admit. But Josh, are you a fan?
No, honestly, when we came up with the topic last week, I wrote podcast Battlestar on my board because now I pride myself on not forgetting what our topic is. And of course, I started reading Battlestar Galactica comics.
So much better, right, Josh?
So much better.
So much better.
I think we need to circle back on those. But honestly, like, I think like my only real like niche encounters with Battlestar is he was for a while with the Captain. So in Captain America's storyline, No More, he sort of dances in and out of that. And I really do like that story, that bit, that storyline. And for the folks who are unfamiliar, a lot of the Civil War storyline in the MCU is really from Captain America No More, not from the actual Civil War line in Marvel, which is confusing, but that's just the way it is. So, and I don't think anybody was a huge fan of the black, red, and white costume with the silver shield, but, you know, there we were, just sort of doing our thing with Captain America. And so there was the intermingling of what do we do with the red, white, and blue, and how star-spangled were we going to get dancing around the Captain while he wasn't actually Captain America. So I vaguely remember some of those books, and I really did like that storyline except for the costume. But other than that, I had a pretty – besides the clear and present terribleness of the Buckies – not really having a lot of forethought or thoughts about this besides, ooh, that seems like something I should avoid.
And it was. I do remember when he changed – I'm sorry. I just wanted to say I remember when he brought up the fact that he was going to change his name to Battlestar. You know, he gave this kind of heartfelt speech in the comic book in character. You know, I don't know if anyone knows this, but Bucky's a derogatory term. I've never really been very comfortable with it. I think from now on, I'm going to be Battlestar. I'm like, really? You get to choose your own name? You went with Battlestar?
Battlestar.
Later, when I found out the entire thing took him an hour to do, it made more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. At least it wasn't like out of character. That would have been awkward.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if this had taken him like 2 years, I'd be disappointed. 1 hour... placeholder that shit.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Battlestar. Pending Battlestar. A better name.
Well, you know, and, Battlestar, Starbuck. It's two separations away from Bucky.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Second worst costume of all time after Captain Ultra in my book. That's a bad costume. Garish, I say.
Yeah. It's not something I'd expect a bold urban commando to wear.
No, it's bold.
No. Oh, I'm not saying it's not bold.
Yeah. It was bold.
You should have gone with the one where that Thor wore, where he's got the chest carved out. You remember that one that shows? It's like a shirt, but he carved out the part.
Yeah, it's an ab window.
And like it wasn't just an ab window. It was all the way up to the nipples and down window.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
or like the... The Sue Storm, off. Like the four with the cleavage, like
yeah.
Hey, don't you badmouth that one? That was a great costume.
Was it?
Well, was it was it? For me.
Yes.
Well, okay.
It was for a young Tom Strange just figuring out what he liked in this universe.
All right, now I have to go back now and read the Marvel Zombies because I just found out that his group that he was in was called the Ducky Dozen. Because Howard the Duck was in charge of it. Listen to this team of superstars that Marvel assembled for the Ducky Dozen. Howard the Duck, Battlestar.
Wait. All right. We get to guess. Everyone gets one guess.
All right.
Devil Dinosaur is going to be mine.
You're wrong.
Okay. I don't get a guess because I've read a lot of these.
All right. Stace.
I don't know. The Collector.
I'm just going with this is just an homage to Mike. I'm going with Lady Stiltman.
Oh, if only that cool. I might give you guys money if you've heard of any of these folks.
Oh, boy.
Blazing Skull. Breeze Barton.
I believe I have a Breeze Barton air freshener in my bathroom right now.
I have a friend in Brett Barton.
I think it's Barton scented. I'm not sure what that is. Like Old West? I'm not sure. Saddle leather? We'll figure it out.
Dragoon.
Oh, Dragoon. He fought Spider-Man in a 45 record I had in the 70s.
That was Dragon Man. Very
I'm sorry. My bad. Keep going.
Gurr.
Yes.
From the Runaways.
Yeah, and his twin brother is Harumph.
Hey, I didn't get a Harumph from that guy. Flexo.
Oh, yeah, Flexo. Yeah, uh-huh. Did Suzanne, the alter ego is Suzanne Summers. That's the Flexo, right? Is that the same?
It's the Thigh Master, for God's sake.
Oh, Thigh Master.
Get your head on right.
Flexo Bender's... or Bender's evil twin on Futurama.
It can bend anything. 30 degrees.
Eternal Brain.
Oh, yep. Remember Eternal
That's
Brain.
My favorite Bengals song.
Absolutely. Yeah, the video is amazeballs.
Oh, it is.
Dynaman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dynaman. Yeah.
Taxi Taylor.
Taxi yeah, Taylor, I remember. Taxi Taylor was...
the sequel to Taxi Driver.
No. Taxi Taylor was... he drove around Blade for a while.
He?
Yeah, that's what I remember. Taxi something.
Yeah.
He had a sidekick because he couldn't drive, and it was Taxi something.
It wasn't Taxi Taylor because that's a female. Okay. And then the only one that you guys would probably recognize, Dum Dum Dugan.
Oh, shit, right. I was going to say Dum Dum Dugan as my guest. Fuck.
Yeah.
I really was because I like seeing Dum Dum show up. Damn it.
This has been the Ducky Dozen podcast.
Well, your TED Talk on the Ducky Dozen.
Yeah.
So he's been in a couple different groups. He's been in a couple iterations. What's he doing now?
I think that's the last thing he's done.
Is that the last thing he's done?
Well,
ever.
He definitely got killed in the... Zombies Supreme.
Spoiler alert!
Spoilers!
Everyone gets killed in the Zombie Supreme. That's like true. Deadpool killing the Marvel Universe. Yeah. We know the ending. You kind of put it out there.
True.
But it did last a decent amount of time. More than I expected.
You mean he showed up and he lasted
more than I expected.
Yeah.
Well, I expected him to be gone by page three. He lasted way longer.
That's why there was never a Christmas episode on Star Trek, because you can't have a new character show up in a red shirt and expect anything good to happen.
All right, let's do this. Price is Right style, highest or closest without going over the number of appearances of Battlestar in Marvel Comics.
Without going over Price is Right rules, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Closest without 13. Going over.
How many? I'm locking in at 13. Hands up. I already locked mine in. Stacey, you look like you're looking stuff up. Don't make me have you put your
I'm
hand.
Not. I'm not. I was actually looking at something else.
I think Tom's 13 is too low, but I think it's close. I think I'm going to go with 15.
Okay.
I'm going with 21.
21. All right. Price is Right rules. I think you fucked up, buddy. Oh, he was in the Watchdog. He was in the Watchdog one where they were trying to bring up the Watchdogs.
I'm going to guess 19.
No.
You guys are not close at all. 86.
Ooh, Josh Hyatt.
Way more than he should have had.
Yeah, he was in way more than 20 Captain America comics. Cause
fuck you guys.
Josh is the big wiener today.
And Stacey, props on you for not pricing right me and going for 22. I can't believe it. Okay, guys. You went for a two-comic spread, like, statistically. I don't even know what was going on. Yeah, you could have just, you know. Yeah, you should have taken that one. That seems like a Christmas kindness, Stacey.
That's a rookie mistake, Stacey.
A horror rookie mistake. Horror Christmas
that's
kindness.
That's all right.
I was going for the brighter side, Tom.
Yeah, well, you were wrong.
So, any final words on everybody's favorite once racistly named character?
Yeah.
Google search will save you problems down the line.
So I focused on a lot of the wrestling stuff because that was the main thing that piqued my interest. And the one thing that I really liked about Battlestar kind of has nothing to do with Battlestar, and that was that one of the characters that kind of shows up in when he gets captured by the Power Tools is a character named Red Zeppelin. And so I was just like, I had a huge laugh over the fact that there was a character in the Marvel Universe named Red Zeppelin.
Did you see the Power Tools at all, by the way?
They were ridiculous. They were.
They were so ridiculous. One guy had two screwdrivers, Wolverine style. He had like these bracelets connecting these two screwdrivers. Another guy had the same sort of setup, but with two hammers at the end of his fists. And the third guy was actually kind of useful. He had two buzz saws at the end of his fists.
Which unfortunately cut off his fists when he activated.
He was very fast for a generator, but it was a horrible, horrible way.
Yeah.
There's just a guy named Hands.
I'm like, so you're the Power Tools, and only one of you has Power Tools.
Yeah. What's up with that?
What's up with that?
Look, in their defense, you don't want to have to be fighting near an outlet the whole time. All right. You guys are all the Power Tools. Here's your equipment. And here's a 50-foot extension cord. Now go rob that bank.
Rob that guy. Yeah, rob that guy. Here's a 9-volt battery. Go rob that guy.
Can we have, like, the battery things? Not invented yet! What?
What?
What? You've been a charger all day. What?
Guys,
just one guy that's a charger. That's it. He's a charger.
You know what would be great? If they drove around in a charger.
Yeah, it would be.
And in the middle of a combat, like they get just drained of all their power. You're like, I'm gonna cut you.
And they could have
I'll be back later. You're lucky.
This character called the Power Stripper.
Everyone
retreat to the charging station. The charging station's their home base.
Wait a second. Why are you giving up this gold, man? The Power Stripper should definitely be a character we make.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can only plug in three of the
power tools at once.
The Power Stripper has three holes. You can Lucky Pierre that thing. You gotta go slower when you're using three, though.
Yeah.
It's just math.
All right, and so if you Google Battlestar,
you don't get Battlestar
Marvel Comics. You got to do that.
Yeah,
people also search for.
Oh Lord!
Here we go.
Here we go.
Power Broker.
Okay.
Super Patriot.
Okay, we're okay still.
Yeah.
Crippler.
I feel the Crippler. Okay. I feel the deep waters coming.
Demolition Man, a.k.a. D-Man, Diamondback, all makes sense because this is a Captain America theme. But then I just found two characters that I don't recognize. And I'm sure that these were probably in Captain America. I just don't remember. Hector Lennox?
Hector Lennox.
Anybody? No.
Left Winger?
Left Winger is the other one. Who the fuck is Left Winger?
It looks like they're the same character.
It is
the same character. Yeah. Hector Left Winger, that was his secret identity. He was part of the Buckies.
He was on the left.
And his partner was right winger.
Right winger.
And there was Battlestar in the middle. The moderate. Was he the moderate?
Wow. Yeah,
independent.
Wow.
Hector Lennox was born in Houston, Texas. Bullshit. There is no way left winger is from Houston, Texas. Where the fuck is right winger from?
Boston, Massachusetts. They both were born.
Philadelphia? Oh, they fucked that up big time.
Yeah. That's all
right.
Chris, this is Cross, an episode of Switched Cross at Birth.
Oh, God. They committed suicide. He and right winger both. Because they were burned in an explosion. Wow.
That's dark.
Okay.
Way to bring it down, Stacey. Jesus Christ.
I like that when Walker learned of this, Walker was remorseful.
Walker was remorseful. That sounds like the worst part of a Dick and Jane book ever.
Oh, my God. So the Buckies never really... Wow. Battlestar's like the only survivor of being a member of the Buckies.
So he's the guy that had it the best. Bucky.
Yeah. Wow. All righty.
A lot going on here, Mike.
It's a lot to unpack. I'm sorry to do this to you listeners. Let's move on from this train wreck.
Please, let's do it. As in the spirit of that, Tommy, what do you got in the back of the log box?
I don't know that I can move on from that. I think I just need to defer to Mike this week.
Mikey, clean my palate. Come on, baby.
Wow, you thought Johnny Walker felt bad about it, but look at what remorse that LT has. He can't even do his own section of the podcast this week. All right, let me read some reviews for you. This is on the latest creation by who I think is probably the best tandem in comics for the last 10 years.
Well, I know what you're talking about, I think.
Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. When you talk about crime comics, these are the two guys that you should be thinking of. The Fade Out, Criminal, a whole bunch of different comics. Their latest one is called Reckless. It is only being sold in a beautiful hardcover edition from Image Comics. It's about $25, but it is well worth the investment, I'd say. When Brubaker was trying to figure out how they were going to survive the pandemic, when at a time nobody was even thinking about printing comics, he decided, look, a lot of people just don't collect floppies anymore. So let's just go straight to a hardcover edition and give people what they like, you know, something that they can buy as an independent comic, put on their shelf. And I think he might be on to something, because I'm going to be collecting all of Brubaker's works like this from now on. The story is about a guy named Ethan Reckless, and he is a former 70s radical, 60s, 70s radical. He was he has undergone stuff, and now he is part repo man, part bounty hunter, part fixer of things. If you are in trouble, all you got to do is call his phone number and leave a message. And if he decides that's interesting enough to solve your problem, he will do it. And in this, his past comes back to haunt him. It is a noir set in the 1970s. And the art is beautiful. And like all Brubaker stories, it's a fresh, crisp plot. Every time I thought I saw where it was going, Brubaker takes a subtle but logical turn. It's like reading the pulp magazines and stuff from the 70s and 80s, except it's a good plot instead of the shit that they were producing. Oh, well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of it was shit, but I'm sure some of it was good. I didn't read every pulp criminal story in the 70s or 80s to make that judgment. But I highly recommend Reckless. And if you are a fan of noir, Brubaker and Phillips' team, anything by them is going to be good. In fact, I'm going to also recommend they have a Western pulp comic called Pulp, which you should also check out.
Well, that sounds terrific.
Yep. It's got rave reviews on the back from Joe Hill, who we know from Lock and Key. Amazing. Patton Oswalt also loves the book, and so does the Watchmen, HBO's Watchmen creator, Damon Lindelof. I'll give it high praise.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Are you guys ready for a quick 3 to 18?
Sure.
Hit me.
Eggnog.
We've already done this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3 because this is the second time you've asked us about eggnog.
Yeah, I think I gave it a 5 last time. I gave it a 3. I'm with Mike.
Yeah. I'm in with Mike. I agree.
Eggnog down.
Yeah.
Crazy. You've never done this one with me. Thank Come you, on, buddy.
Anyway.
If it's dairy-free eggnog, I give it a 16. If it's dairy eggnog, I give it a 3 because it makes me barf.
Well, I'm going to go with my solid 15 again. I love me some eggnog. But that was a bit of a tangent. Josh, what do you got for a tangent for us today, buddy?
I'm going to riff on Mike's storyline here. I love the I always like the idea of the sort of the disparity between sort of storyline or mood versus setting. Just as my first example, and I know Tom loves this movie as well, and if nobody else has seen this movie, for the love of all that is fantastic, go see the movie Brick. Brick is a noir detective story set in a suburban high school. It is fantastic, and it is so very inundated with both of those things that are so disparate that it makes the film beautiful. So anybody else have any other examples of this that they really enjoy? Because I've got another one on me.
Brick is a great example of it, like, being, like, crazy out of context, because, like, even the way the kid, what's the name of that kid?
French? Is his last name French?
No, French is...
No, you're thinking French Stewart. You're talking about Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he's still real young in this movie, just off of 30 Rock, and he is terrific.
Well, that's it was written and directed by Rian Johnson, who does one of the best deconstructions of a murder mystery in Knives Out, right? Because he tells you who done it, and you think, okay, that's what this is about, and then at the end, fucking turns it back into the classic whodunit format with the detective at the end solving not the who, but the why.
The why. It was. That was terrific. Has anyone seen Somewhere Under the Rainbow?
Yeah.
Terrific movie. It's about the cast of The Wizard of Oz.
Chevy Chase, Goldie Hawn, Billy Barty.
Billy Barty. It's mostly about the little people who acted in The Wizard of Oz, and it's part murder mystery, part little person love story, midget story, crazy story. I love that one, and it really does turn a lot of genres on its head in that one. And it's a fun little movie because of that. Also, oddly, I think Days of Thunder, because it's so obviously a martial art movie disguised as a racing movie.
What about Blade Runner? I would say that's also that's definitely a noir film. It's just set in the future, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Blade Runner, and I will even give credit to the new one where I think they even take that a step further. They did a very good job of showing that book to movie as sort of like turning the action adventure dial up a little bit. It's still a beautiful translation, but it's one of those movies where you're like, not what the author was driving for, but it is in and of itself something so fantastic. Where I think what's the, I can't even remember what the title is for the next one, 2049? The new Blade Runner? Have you watched it?
No. Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
It's absolutely worth your time.
It's fantastic.
It is a slow paced movie. It takes the storytelling sort of back a notch to where I think the original book sort of sat from a action side, where it's like, yeah, is this an action movie? No. But yeah, it's fantastic. I thought it was really good. And yes, I think that's a beautiful example of where we go from science fiction into noir. And yeah, absolutely great.
I got one other one. Bugsy Malone. Has anyone seen Bugsy Malone?
Oh my gosh, I love that movie. Yeah.
Right, Bugsy Malone. That's a great one. It's an all kid cast gangster movie.
Scott Baio, Jodie Foster. God, who else is in that movie? I just remember Jodie Foster's number. She sings a song called My Name is Tallulah. I think it's called My Name is Tallulah. But yeah, so we have a local record shop here called JL Records, and they have an enormous selection of soundtrack albums, new ones, but mostly vintage. And they have, last time I was in there, they have that soundtrack on vinyl, and I almost bought it, and I'm planning on going there this week, and if they have it, I may purchase it, just because we talked about this movie, as I love it so much.
It is such a dumb kind of fun movie, like these little kids, the machine guns, they shoot marshmallows or something stupid, I can't remember.
It's like pies or something.
Yeah.
It's like cream pie or something.
It's a fun little dope movie, and it just kind of turns the genre on its head, but it really is a lot of fun to watch. And Jodie Foster is adorable in this thing.
So I have one. I don't know if this counts. It counts for me, since Bugsy Malone counts. I think this counts. Johnny Dangerously.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's totally a cross-genre film.
Once.
My grandmother hung me on a hook once. Once.
This is an 88.
Oh, we're going that way.
Through schools.
How about Oscar then? That was Sylvester Stallone.
That's a musical. Yeah.
You know what? He's right. You are an ox and a moron.
A good list.
Good list. Yeah. There are good examples on there.
So eggnog.
Mike, did you have one? I missed it. I had a quick phone call from my mom. My mom says hi, everybody.
Hi, Mom.
Hey.
Hey.
I posted on my Facebook page that I was starting an OnlyFans page. As my mom was like, "Where can I sign up?" I'm like, God damn, Mom. I love that you're so very, very permissive and helpful and supportive. But no. No, thank you. Moving on. Who's got some plugs?
Oh, Stacy. What's in Stacy's toy chest?
Oh, Stacy, what's your toy box?
Yeah.
It's been so long with Miss COVID being COVIDed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since it's the season, and since I was talking about it earlier on something else, and I watched it this weekend. My toy this week is nice. Ultimate Gizmo.
Ultimate Gizmo?
It is Ultimate Gizmo. So awesome. This is one accessory. He also comes with his little Rambo headband and the marshmallow. Nice. A couple other accessories, but he has articulated eyes. I don't know if the camera's going to
pick
it up.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Eyes move. And you have to, if you don't put him the right way, he looks really stoned. But yeah, so this is NECA Toys. They've done Ultimate Stripe. They've also just done an Ultimate Gremlin. They've done a lot of different versions of the Gremlins. As a matter of fact, I just picked up this week a couple of the Caroling Gremlins, which is my favorite scene in the movie. They're super, super fun.
I like that one of them has a, where do you even get a little muff? Right? Like, we need a little muff for the puppets. I'm not making a little tiny muff. Those things are hard to make. Fuck you, make a muff.
You know where that tiny muff comes from, Tom?
Where?
From that movie about the short people who have the intimate relationships and the... Never mind. Don't search for that on Pornhub.
I thought you were going to say something about the Muffin Man. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Also, I thought the ultimate gizmo would... first off, his power would be over 9,000, and also he'd have some Super Saiyan abilities.
Yeah, I mean, you get him wet.
Don't feed him out.
You get him wet, he goes Super Saiyan. Over 9,000!
Yeah, the problem is feeding him after midnight because nobody can figure out when that resets. Because they don't really give you a decent time frame.
Always after midnight.
All your gremlins starve to death and it's horrible to watch. It's horrible.
Is that
so hungry?
Is that daylight standard time? What time zone is that?
EST. Yeah, you never know.
You're not fooling me, gremlin. Yeah. You're not hungry.
Yeah.
All right, now we can do plugs. Who's got a plug for me?
I'd like to plug our Twitter account, at the Longbox Guys. If you go over there, you will be able to see the incredible Justice League cover that our friend of the podcast, Dylan, who is not allowed to listen to our podcast because he's only 10 years old, but he drew the Justice League and the Injustice Society or Injustice League gang, whatever you, I don't know what it's called this month.
Yeah.
But it's excellent. I will post it on my Twitter at Longbox Guy Mike, and Tom at the Longbox Guy will retweet it. So you can see that.
I certainly will.
And Stacy, your ultimate gizmo, where can people see that?
They can see it on my Instagram, which is at Geeky Vixen, all one word. You can also see I bought the Elf Advent calendar, and I've been unboxing that for the last few days.
Nice.
Oh,
sweet.
We have a little Advent calendar. We enjoy ours a lot.
My mom sends me an Advent calendar every year with chocolate in it, and I think she's just trying to kill me.
Trying to murder you.
That's fair.
Time to die, young man.
You know you're Jewish?
Huh?
Does your mom know you're Jewish?
She's met a few of the Jews in the family. I don't think she likes them, though.
I was going to say, she's not a huge fan of the dad, so. I'd like to play Pensacon. Pensacon is coming up, and as far as we know, still going to go strong.
I might be canceling my Pensacon reservation, Airbnb. You have to find another damn place to stay. I love you, Tom, but I'm not going with you.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Anyway,
but I love you.
Pensacon, you. Our favorite con of the year.
It really is our favorite con of the year. I'm hoping they can do it somewhat safely. He still wants to go forward. Everyone's nodding their head, not in the yes way.
Not in the yes way. Wow.
Not in the yes way.
You are such an optimist.
Not in the Yahweh.
Way back in Judaism. Tommy, anything to plug?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
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 Hello, Timmy.
Geekorthodox.com for all of your geeky needs, including stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker Rocks glasses, t-shirts, all of Josh's Christmas presents, you name it, they got it.
Josh, you bought like everyone a Christmas, like you bought like a bunch of like safety Christmas presents.
Yeah, but they're so safe and so fucking awesome. I can give them to everyone, and I got plenty of them.
Yeah. So if you go over to Josh's and he hands you a present, he probably wasn't really thinking about you when he bought it. That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, but you won't get the crappy candle.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody has that crappy candle as an emergency present, right?
Yeah. Not me. I have fucking geek T-shirts and fucking. Spaceships to go under
glasses.
Goddamn windows.
Speaking of that,
yeah.
I'm going to send you a candle, Stacy. Give me your address afterwards.
Got a candle with your name on it.
Hey, I'd also like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And I think you guys, if you like what we're doing over here and you like helping people out, instead of just doing well, do good. go over to patreon.com/thelongboxguys and become a Patreon supporter, because every freaking cent that we get on Patreon goes straight to the Elizabeth Peabody house where Tom operates the food bank for. So you get an extra podcast every week that we decide to put one out. And if for a mere $1, that's some good stuff. Yeah. And you're helping people out who really need it.
That's right. Those dollars really do go a long, long way. We feed about 80 families a week now. And that gives them almost a full week's worth of groceries every single week. That's 80 families getting a full week's grocery, somewhat out of our Patreon page. And, of course, we beg for money anywhere we can at the Elizabeth Peabody House. Does anyone know our number one most famous person who came to the Elizabeth Peabody House?
Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy for the win, because I brag about it all the time. He learned two things: photography, which, by the way, he excelled at. He's almost as famous in photography in some circles as he is in acting. In some circles, like photography nerds, like Leonard Nimoy, his nudes are impeccable. Brr. Well, all right, fine. People who are into photography want to seem overly cool by not knowing who he is in the other life. Yeah, okay, fine. I'll take it. but he always, like, sent us notes and stuff, and he was always super, super kind about his time at the Elizabeth Peabody House, and we do love the fact that he was one of our alums. And that just about does it for us. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh, Christmas, is that your sector?
Christmas and Hanukkah, bitches.
Boom. Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy. You got anything to say, buddy?
Look, I'm just hopeful for Georgia. That's all. Kentucky disappointed me. I'm hopeful for Georgia.
Kentucky disappointed me is the name of my last sex tape. Stacy, anything to say to us?
Well, two things. One, this is still like sitting at the cool kids table. And two, I know everybody listening is already wearing a mask, but as somebody who got very lucky and survived COVID, I just, please wear a mask. please stay safe, guys.
100 days.
100 days.
Starting on January 20th, when he comes in, 100 days. Give us 100 days, people. Wear a mask.
100 days. Everybody pitches it. Come on now.
And there's no harm in practicing now.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm not saying don't start now.
Don't start now. The latest government estimates is we should have everybody in the United States vaccinated by the end of June. However, there's a new strain of COVID that's coming out of England. So
that new strain of COVID, by the way, is not resistant to the vaccine. The vaccine is still protecting against it, but it is way more, if you don't have vaccine, it is way more infectious, like 70%.
Yeah, very.
Did they really think there's going to be enough vaccines distributed to get everyone by June?
Yep.
That's the United States.
Operation Warp Speed. Right. It is the only good thing that this government has done in response to the pandemic. It's a logistical nightmare, but they put the Army in charge, which was a good move on getting and moving.
And there have been two or three mistakes, and every time there's been a mistake, what has the general said?
It's my fault.
I'm going to do better.
Yep.
Pfizer did their job. Everything else was my fault. Yeah, good for fucking him.
It pissed me off. I was listening to a radio station, a lefty radio station, because I'm a left winger. And they were mad at the thing that I like most about him. He did an interview and he said that every night he has to go home and he has like 20 or 30 words that he has to look up because he wants to make sure he knows what he's doing. That's a good thing, people. Don't say that's not the guy you want in charge. That is absolutely the guy you want in charge. The guy who's curious and trying to figure everything out.
And the guy who knows he doesn't know everything.
That's right.
Clearly, yeah.
This is my favorite. This is my only guy that I've liked in the entire administration. Protect
yourself. I have no bias towards smart people who want to know more and do better.
Yeah.
That's not a thing you should.
And if you're making mistakes and you say absolutely the buck stops here, that's my bad.
That's my fault.
Good on you, boy. Good on you. All right, and that does it for the we're kissing that guy's ass because he's great.
Whatever that guy's name is. Fuck yeah.
And don't forget what I always say. Stop complaining about what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live longer. Thank you from the Long Box, guys.
Love you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.